Crucified. That's the name of our series right now as we're walking through the book of Galatians together. And crucified. That's what Jesus did for us. He was crucified for us. That means he took all my wrong on that cross. His blood shed there was sufficient payment before God to my sinfulness, my disobedience, my brokenness, my mistakes and shortcomings. Jesus died for me, placed in a tomb, but then he rose from the dead. And whosoever will call on his name, their life will be transformed, made right with God. That's what the gospel is all about. And also, not only is that our salvation, but when we see Christ crucified on the cross, it's also a picture of the life that we're called to live day in and day out. To die to me and come alive to God's will. To die to what I want and come alive to what God wants. Crucified. It's not just trying to do a few good things in this life and hope I make it. Now, because of Jesus, because of what he did, I'm in if I trust in him, if I turn from my way to God's way. So now it's about, man, let's die to my way, my will, my desires, come alive to God's will. And today we're in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20 here. It's the theme verse for the series. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, not about me anymore. It's not about my stats or my accolades or my accomplishments in life or what I have or what I know. No, it's about him. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, Christ lives in me. The life that I live now, I live by faith in him. Personal relationship. And in verse 18 of that same passage, he says here that in the gospel, God tears some stuff down. So he deconstructs our way of living. That's what he does. He tears down this try to do some good things, just try to be a good person or try to be religious or just kind of go to church. No, he tears all that down and shows us it's not about that. It's about a relationship with him, knowing him, loving people. And so when I think about stuff getting torn down, as I was preparing this week, I thought about family game night. How many of you like games, like family game night? You like some of that? Right? What about Scrabble? I got some Scrabble players up in here. Scrabble? What about Monopoly? Everybody likes some Monopoly up in here. Now, Monopoly, you better pop some popcorn. You're going to be there a while. You know what I'm talking about? That one's like all night long. Risk? You ever heard of that game, Risk? You know what I'm talking about? Where you like, there's like war and all this stuff, and you like battle each other. It's like hours, Coach Walden, man. It'll drive you crazy. So Jenga. How many Jenga fans have I got up in here? You like some Jenga? Jenga. So you build this tower with these little blocks, and some of the blocks actually weigh a little bit less than the others, or they're a little bit shorter or a little bit longer. And so as you build this tower, it's not stable. Point of the game, right? Pull out one block at a time. You go around. Each person takes a turn and take that block out and put it on top. And the person who pulls that final block out that makes the whole tower fall over loses. And you always have that one person. Did you grow up with a brother like this? Or maybe you got a kid or a grandkid like this? You always got somebody that walks by when you're playing it, just knocks the whole thing over. You know what I'm talking about? Just knocks the whole Jenga tower down. And Jenga, that's a picture of how some people view faith. And even the Christian life. A lot of people, they see faith as, I just need to kind of take a block out and reposition it. So if I'll just quit drinking, I'll be right with God. Or if I just stop that addiction, I could just get rid of that addiction in my life, then, you know, God will be pleased with me. If I'll just go to church or give some money to help the poor, or if I'll just do some good things, and we just kind of pull the blocks out and reposition them. Well, just like the game, listen, all that does, it makes it even more, your life even more unstable than it was before. You see, it's not about changing myself. It's not about doing better or trying to be a better person. No, the cross tells us I can't do it without Jesus. That's the picture. And so what Jesus does in the gospel, when you turn from sin and you trust in Jesus, he comes in and he knocks the tower over. He knocks the whole thing down, and then he gets out block and brick. And the Bible says that we are a house, man. He builds up a house, something that's stable and grounded and rooted in him. And he changes us from the inside out. I don't change my life from the outside in. The gospel is all about Jesus in me, Jesus for me, Jesus through me. And that's what Crucified, this series, is all about. Galatians chapter 2, let's dive in together. And we're going to look at verses 15 through 21. If you don't have your Bible, verses are on the screen, okay? Starting at verse number 15. Paul says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Now you got to get the picture here. So he's getting in the race here. And so there were folks who believe, hey, you believe in Jesus, but you got to be Jew also in order to go to heaven. Aren't you glad the gospel's for everybody? Come on, somebody. It's not just for those who are born in the, you know, into the right nationality or the right race or right socioeconomic class or you name it. The gospel's for everybody. And he says here, we ourselves are Jews by birth, not Gentile sinners. He's playing on this hypocritical mentality some of them had in the church. He says, yet we know a person is not justified. Listen to this. Not justified by doing good things. By works of the law. That's the lie of the devil in the world. Is that, if we'll do some good things, I'll be okay. It's through faith in Jesus. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith. Complete reliance on Him, not on me. And it's not, again, not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Verse 17, but if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too are found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. So in other words, the gospel is not saying that God's commands don't matter. What it's saying is that when you trust in Jesus, all of a sudden He puts a desire in us to carry out those commands. The gospel's not work, it's worship. It's not about law, it's about love. It's about loving God. And so the power of the gospel is, if I say that I'm following Jesus, then He makes an eternal difference in me. He comes in, I'm born again, regenerated, the term is. And so, is He an author of sin, a servant of sin? Certainly not. Man, for if I, here's the verse 18. If I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Listen closely. If you profess faith in Christ, yet after professing that faith, you go back to performance-based, like I'm just going to do some good stuff, or you go back to a worldly lifestyle, that says that the power of the gospel doesn't reside in my heart. Not perfection, not sinless perfection, but a new, you listening? A new direction of life. That's the difference. That's the power of the cross in us, the power of Jesus in us, the gospel. And he says, if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. Here's our theme verse, verse 20. I have been, if you're a child of God, this is true of you today. If you've turned from sin and placed faith in Jesus, I have been crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. It's not me anymore. It's not my name in the paper. It's not me on social media. And look how awesome I am. No, this is all about God now. This is all about Jesus. It's all about Him. He gets the glory. He gets the credit. And so the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith. Complete trust in Him. Hearing His voice. Following His counsel. It's worship, not work. It's opportunity and privilege, not obligation. And so He loved me, gave Himself up for me. In verse 21, if I don't nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through my ability, then Christ died needlessly. Then the cross is in vain. In this passage, very briefly, and then we're done this morning, we see what the gospel tears down. Some stuff that Jesus, when he's knocking the Jenga tower over, it's stuff that He tears down. Three specific things in this passage that He tears down when we come to Him that is so important, especially in today's world. You ready? Number one, what does the gospel tear down? Personal justification. Personal justification. Do we live in a day and time where everybody thinks you ought to agree with everything they do and say? Come on, football players, you with me today? Do we live in a day and time where everybody says, you need to agree with everything I do and I say? And if you don't, what? Then you don't love me. You're not kind to me. You don't care about me. Aren't you glad there's people in our life who will speak the truth, man, even if it hurts? Aren't you glad there's people in your life who will speak the truth of God? So this is what God says, man. But out of love for you, the people who love you most will challenge you the hardest at times. Deceitful are the kisses of the enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend, the scripture says. And in the gospel, we lose all right to justify ourselves. Listen closely. This is important. It doesn't matter what I say about my life. What matters is what God says about my life. Are you listening? What matters is what God says. You are not here by accident. You are here by divine design. You're not some random accident of an evolutionary process. You are created in the image of God, here for His purpose, for His glory. And so that means He's our maker. Ultimately, He's the one who holds us accountable. And so we answer first to Him. It doesn't matter what I call my life. What matters is what God calls it. And the good news is that the one who calls out our sin is the same one who sent His Son to die for it. Come on, that's good news today. Same one who paid for it. So with conviction comes compassion. With His chastisement comes His love at the same time. And He shows us His command so that we see our need. But then He draws us in with His love. He says, listen, I love you, man. Just come to me and I'll give you new life. I'm not going to hold all that stuff in your past or even in your present against you. And in fact, I'm going to wipe the slate clean and your future is going to be all about me. All about me. He uses the word justification here. What does that mean? Well, it speaks of an instantaneous act. It's a legal term. An instantaneous act whereby God declares you not guilty. Not guilty. Acquitted of the crimes of sin of which we all have. We all have disobeyed God and deserve His judgment. But Jesus took it on the cross. He took hell for us, man. That's what it's about. And so justification. Instantaneous act where God declares me righteous when I have turned from sin and placed faith in Him. In that very moment that I call on the name of Jesus, I'm made right with God right now. And now He sees the righteousness of Christ instead of my junk and all my wrong. All my wrong went on Him on the cross. Just as He died, the old me died. Those addictions, those habits, man, that selfishness, that narcissistic life, all that stuff. He takes all that. And just as He was raised, so now I'm raised to walk in a new life. And that's what He does in us. Justification. Let me tell you what justification's not. It's not a process. It's not a process. Justification is not me getting, just trying to do better over time. Just trying to do more good things. No. In that very moment I call on Jesus, my life is radically transformed. And now I walk by faith and worship and love in relationship with Him. So it's not a process. By the way, children of God, that's a great reminder. There are no more justified Christians than any others. Hello. That means that as the further we go along in the faith, our Fox News politics doesn't get sanctified. Come on, somebody. Y'all okay? Our Fox News faith doesn't get sanctified. All that junk that we spew on social media right now and all this critical spirit and all that stuff. Listen, that's not the gospel, man. Yes, we should speak the truth, but we should do it in a way that's loving and gracious. And by the way, don't you know Fox News don't always have the truth? Come on, somebody. Neither does CNN, neither does the internet, neither does Twitter. And so Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know what's true? Get in the Word and start there. Okay? And so it's not a process. But also justification, when I get right with God, it's not a pardon. What's a pardon? A pardon's an unconditional release of a prisoner. You up in jail, you know, somebody in authority says, hey, you've been released. The only problem with that is when you get released, you still got a record. Oh, this is good news. When you come to Christ, our record is expunged. Man, hey, all the past is gone. Present sin no longer defines me. And my future is a home in heaven. Come on, somebody. Listen, our record is gone. Yeah, give Him praise. Come on, church, give Him praise. Expunged. Now you're a child of God. What happens in salvation? I am regenerated. That means I'm born again, brand new on the inside. I am reconciled. I was an enemy of God. Now I'm a friend. I am redeemed. I was a slave to all that junk in my life. But don't you know in Jesus, He breaks those chains. In Him, I am justified, made right. But also in that same legal proceeding, if you will, I am adopted. Legally, officially, eternally adopted into the family of God. Son, daughter of God. I was orphaned by sin, hopeless, helpless, no family, no love in my life to speak of, no eternal joy. And then I come to the Father and he adopts me into his family. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, you'll see this on the screen, says this: when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth Jesus, born of a woman under the law, came, took on flesh, lived a sinless life we can't live. But he came to redeem us who were under that same burden, trying to do it on our own. No, he came, did it for us so that we might receive, what's the word there? What's the word? We might receive adoption, man. In the family of God. In this loving relationship with him now. And because you are sons, verse 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Listen, when you come to Jesus, you turn from sin, trust in him. No longer is he, listen, no longer is he our judge. Now, God is now our Father. Daddy, the word in the original language said, Daddy, man. Loving Heavenly Father, we rest in his arms of love. Listen to me today, it doesn't matter what you say about yourself. Don't listen to the lies of this world. They say, if it feels good, do it. If you think it's okay, then it is okay. Now, you know what atheism is? Listen close. This is important because this is what you're fed in our society. All of us. Atheism is essentially humanism. Everybody believes in God. The Bible says a fool says in his heart there's no God. You know what atheism is? It's humanism. What it's saying is, I'm going to be God. I'm just going to choose to deny that very image of God in me. I know when I look around at creation and the beauty and complexity of it all, man, the only explanation is intelligent design, man. It's God. But to deny that, what I'm saying is, listen, I'm going to live by my own set of expectations, my own rules. I'm going to set my own path. Can't do it. Personal justification is gone. Listen to me, men in the room today. It doesn't matter what you say about your marriage. Well, I deserve to be happy. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're entitled to. What matters is what God says about your life and your marriage. Ladies in the room, doesn't matter what my rights are. We love to talk about our rights and entitlement in this society. No, it's not about that. It's about what Jesus says for me. And it's about his grace, what he says. And so the gospel tears down personal justification. Secondly, let's keep moving. The gospel also tears down a spirit of comparison. Comparison. Peter and Barnabas, they're two, you know, Peter was one of the original apostles. Barnabas, missionary with Paul. These guys, man, they're going around judging everybody based on whether or not they're keeping all the laws of God. Old Testament laws, by the way, which Jesus fulfilled. He didn't nullify, he fulfilled them. And so, in the Old Testament, they worshiped on Saturday. They're on the Sabbath, right? And so here comes Peter and Barnabas along and say, oh man, these Gentiles are worshiping on Sunday. Man, they ought to be worshiping on Saturday. Well, by the way, why do we worship on Sunday? Because it's the Lord's Day. It's the day he rose from the dead. That's why the New Testament church worships on Sunday. And that's what it talks about in the New Testament itself. Refers to it as the Lord's Day. And so what was the Sabbath? It was understanding he's my creator and my provider. But they're saying, oh man, they don't even worship on the right day. They don't even wear the right clothes to church. They don't even worship at the temple. Well, of course they didn't. They're hundreds of miles away. You know, look at them. They eat pork. You know, in Old Testament law says you're not supposed to eat pork. Anybody else glad God sanctified bacon? Come on, somebody. Sanctify some bacon up in here. You know what I'm talking about? Some ribs. He sanctified them ribs. But Peter and Barnabas, man, they're bringing all this stuff up. Like, that's the measure of your life. Aren't you glad that our life's not measured by our performance or appearance? It's measured by what God says about me. And so this spirit of comparison, they're taking all these rules. It's real easy to take a set of rules. For those of us that know Jesus, it's real easy to take a set of rules and try to measure our life by it. That's a lot easier than just loving God and walking by faith. Because that means day in and day out, I got to hear his voice. Man, I got to hear from him and follow his lead. If I just got some rules, I could check those boxes and think and make everybody think that I just really, really love God. Baptists in the room today. You remember back in the day we had those offering envelopes and we'd mark them? Like, you remember that? Like, I read my Bible today and I went to Sunday school and, You know, and I went to prayer meeting and, you know, and we'd mark all these boxes. Now, we didn't have a box on the end that said, I'm mean as a snake. We didn't have one of those. We didn't have that one on the end that said, man, I sure am a jerk most of the time. But hey, I've been to Sunday school today. The same stuff. And some of y'all, you may not have grown up in the Baptist church. Some of you grown up in the church, you know what I'm talking about, where people say you got to wear the right thing and you got to be at church every time the doors are open and you got to do all this stuff in order to be right with God. No, you don't. The cross took care of all that. So then why do you do it, preacher? Because I love God and I want to worship because I want to. I get to now. See that? See the difference? I don't have to. Jesus took my have to, man, on the cross. Now I get to. I get to live for him every day. I get to be a witness for Christ because of what he's done for me. So this spirit of comparison, a legalistic view of faith leads to a utilitarian view of people. What does that mean? When you have this set of expectations that everybody else is supposed to meet, when they don't meet them, you cast them to the side. Aren't you glad that when we mess up, God doesn't cast us to the side? Isn't that good news? I don't care what you're walking through, whether it be addiction, struggles, hardship in your life, bad choices. All of us deal with this. I deal with this at times. I make bad choices sometimes. The good news is the gospel covers all that. And I can come to him with confidence, not in myself, but in his grace, and say, God, forgive me. He says, you are forgiven. Come. Come. Oh, the gospel destroys personal justification. It destroys a spirit of comparison. Lastly, this morning, it also destroys egocentric administration. Now, what does that mean? Self-management. Self-management. If every day when I get up in the morning, if everything's just about everything that I do and just my priorities and my schedule and what I want out of life, if that's, man, that sure is a hopeless way to live, isn't it? It's been said like this, that the smallest package in the world is a man wrapped up on himself. You ever heard that before? And so is life all about me? He says here, Paul says, listen, I've died to all that stuff. Listen, die to the stuff of this world. Come alive to God's will for your life. Die to all that, church folks in the room, die to all that religious performance and appearance stuff. Die to all that politics getting wrapped up with my faith. Die to all this opinionated stuff. Die to all that. And look at what the gospel says. In purity and holiness and what it really teaches. And rest in the grace of God and the truth of the gospel. And in this generation, he's called us to be witnesses for him with your neighbors, co-workers, family members and friends, teammates, classmates. God's called us to speak the truth, man. And we should disagree with one another. Isn't that right? We've lost the ability to disagree with one another in this society. And would to God that we could speak truth into people's lives, build relationship with others to where they know we care about them. And then in private say, hey, man, can I talk to you about something? And then tell them about Jesus and the difference he makes. In our house, we're sports nuts. We are. By the way, the Apostle Paul was a sports nut, right? It's in the New Testament. I promise you, it's there. He loved it. And in our home, we love basketball. We love football. Soccer's growing on us. Come on, somebody. You know, we're trying on the soccer. We're trying on that. Our favorite sport in our house is baseball, right? Baseball. I believe the hardest thing to do, Coach Walden, you may disagree with me, and that's okay if you do. I trust you. I believe the hardest thing to do in sports is consistently hit a baseball. Think about it. If you're 30% effective, you're in the Hall of Fame. You hit 300. You hit 300, you're in the Hall of Fame. So somebody that can hit 300 for 10 years or more will most likely be in the Hall of Fame. And so we're big baseball folks. Play football too, by the way, in our house. We love football. But man, we're big baseball folks in our house. And so here's the deal. Baseball, if I'm going to hit baseball consistently, what you got to do? Come on, guys. Yeah. Just like football, if you're going to have the right form and a tackle, you know, quarterbacks in the room, if you're going to make that pass right, receivers, you're going to run that route right, all that stuff. Linemen, if you're going to block appropriately on those given plays, I mean, you got to practice. You got to know this stuff. And with baseball, listen, it's learning the right form, but then doing it over and over, right? And over. Major league players literally will take hundreds, if not thousands, of swings a day, even before game, just so they can get dialed in. I mean, that's what it is. It's repetition. And here's the thing that we learn in sports, and y'all know this because you live it. The thing we learn in sports, one of the good things we learn is what you practice, you get good at, don't you? Whatever you practice, you're going to get good at. And church, listen to me. Sadly, the church has been practicing religious performance and legalism so long that we've got real good at it. And if everybody else in the world don't swing the bat just right, don't wear the right uniform, don't look the part, play the part, and we've got this idea that maybe they're not valuable to God's kingdom. Well, that's not the gospel, is it? And in these days, would to God, listen to me, that children of God would get rid of all that performance, legalistic stuff, and that we would practice what? Love. Right? Grace. Hospitality. Kindness. Generosity, patience. Would to God that we would practice the gospel and not go back to some kind of set of expectations that you couldn't even keep yourself anyway, much less anybody else keep it. So the big question today is, what are you practicing? What are you practicing in your life? Is life all about you? Is it about your expectations? Or is it about Jesus?